previous debate, the Baptist started in the 16th century. But all that I brought with me is the flyleaf of Armitage history. 1,800 years of Baptist history. That's the flyleaf. You say the Baptist started over in
England in the 16th century, that was the regular Baptist. All you got to do is go to the page and read it. That's what it says. We're not the regular Baptist. We're Baptists, all right. There's a lot of different groups of Baptists, and you don't classify all of them in the same category because they're not all the same. There's hard shell Baptists. There's Seventh-day Adventist Baptists. There's Baptist this and Baptist that. Well, we're not of that category. We're of the old line that have succeeded one another from the time of Christ till the present. The Lord said the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. And in Ephesians 3 and 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You people teach that the church went out of existence and during the Dark Ages was not there and brought back in existence. And that's the teaching that's found in your predecessors. By the way, he wanted to claim my reward. He got what I said. I didn't say what he said. I said that I'd offer a reward of $1,000 if you'd prove that the book that I'm referred to is not what I say it is. I say that it was published by the Church of Christ and the Christian Church and not published by Baptists. They're the ones who put it out. That's not my book. That's their book. That's your own history. History from your own people. That's what I offered the reward for. Prove that I'm lying about it, and they didn't have that kind of a meeting, and they weren't there to celebrate the church that started at Brush Run in 1809 to 1909. That's what they said. I didn't say it. And, beloved, that's your medallion that they used there as their medal for messengers, each one. 100 years. And 1909, didn't far back to what time that... If you doubt that I'm telling you the truth, all you've got to do is contact the city fathers in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and find out if they didn't have it. You can do it yourself. Amen. I can say it. You can't. Okay. All right. On his chart that he has there, what would it take to make baptism acceptable or non-essential? Just like Jesus said, except ye repent, ye perish. Except ye believe, you perish. Except ye be baptized, you perish. That's the only thing that'll make it essential. God never did put salvation dependent upon the water. Salvation's not in the water. Salvation's in Jesus Christ. And you're not baptized in Jesus Christ because Christ is not in the water. Christ is sitting on the Father's throne in heaven. And I'll tell you right now, it's a long distance between here, and he never was in the water. Over in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 21, he created the waters, and the waters brought forth all kinds of different creatures. Fishes, animals, frogs, tadpoles, mosquitoes, all that kind of stuff that the waters produce. The real water doesn't produce human life. And the real water doesn't produce spiritual life. The living water is what produces spiritual life. And the Lord said to the woman of the well, if you'd asked me, I would have given you living water. You go to the 7th chapter of John, and he speaks of living water. And if it's in you, it's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There's two kinds of water set forth in the book. And we're commanded to be dipped in water is the likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. All right? Paul illustrated the death. You're buried in the likeness of the death of Jesus Christ. It isn't actually the death of Christ. It's the likeness of it. It isn't the life in Christ. Life's not in the water. Life's in Jesus Christ. You say, well, you believe that. Well, you don't teach that. You teach that you got to have baptism to get life. And without it, there's no salvation to you. So, by the way, your salvation depends on baptism and nothing else. Got to have it. Okay, so much for that. Prospect. I want you to read me the scripture where it says all this was in prospect. I've heard it all my debating days from the time I started in 1942 in Somerset, Kentucky. And I've never found the scripture yet, but every one of you tell that it's a prospect thing, a prospect thing. Give me the verse in scripture, please. And the first gospel sermon preached on the day of Pentecost. By the way, I'll give you a $20 bill to prove it. Show me where the first gospel sermon is preached on the day of Pentecost. You won't find it in the second chapter of Acts. You won't find it anywhere else. The beginning of the gospel of Christ is mentioned in Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Time and time again, the Lord commanded His disciples to go preach the gospel. Did they do it? Well, if they did, Pentecost wasn't the first time. They preached it for 3 years before Pentecost. That's what the Lord sent them to do. You either accept it or reject it. I can't help it if you try to twist around. You know, some people wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. That's what the book said. That's what you're doing, Brother Bonner. I hope that you get your eyes open. Let the scripture say what it says. He that is baptized shall be saved. Believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why, certainly so. He that believeth and is baptized is saved. He that gives his money to the Lord if he's baptized, he's saved. It isn't teaching that baptism is essential to salvation. Nowhere in it. And then another thing. He gave you the negative. He that believeth not is condemned already. You teach everything comes in baptism, all the graces. I'd like to have one verse that says all the graces and the good things come in baptism. That's Brother Bonner's statement. It isn't the Bible. The graces of God and the fruits of the Spirit, they're not found in baptism. They're the fruits of the Spirit. And John required fruits before he would baptize them. To a congregation of over 5,000 people, he rejected and wouldn't baptize them because they had not produced fruits of repentance. He turned them aside. By the way, I'd like to have the information if one of you fellows would ever do that. Baptism changes a sinner from a hell-bound sinner to God. Just get in the water. My goodness alive. Well, you think Jesus Christ wouldn't have known that if it was real? He didn't take salvation in the water. He taught salvation in His blood. And by the way, His blood's not in the water. I want you to find the scripture that teaches me that blood's in the water. We get the blood in the water. We get the graces in the water. We get the works in the water. We get everything in the water. I've never seen it yet. If you get it, you sure get a bad job of it because it isn't produced. You don't get your works in the water. You don't get the graces in the water. Add to your faith, knowledge, temperance, patience, virtue, and on, you got to add that to it. You don't get it in the water. You don't get it in baptism. Not a passage in there that teaches that. That's an absolutely untruth said on the Bible. It isn't there. I want you to produce it. Okay. Give me number 6, brother. Essential elements of a true church. I want to get as many things in as I possibly can tonight on the negative, on the affirmative side. And by the way, let me call your attention to this passage before I do it. No history. And he tried to give a history of a Smith fellow that come to this country. That's not the history of our church and the ones that were started in this church. I can give you that if you want it. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Here's some historical accounts. Campbell on Baptism, the Starter of Your Church, page 409 in 1851. The Baptist denomination in all ages and in all countries has been, as a body, the constant asserters of the rights of man and the liberty of conscience. Okay. Campbell McCullough debate, page 378 in the year of 1824. From the apostolic age to the present time, the sentiments of Baptists and their practice of baptism have had a continued chain of advocates, and public monuments of their existence in every century can be produced. John Clark Redpath, professor of history in DuPont University. Quotation, I should not readily admit that there was a Baptist church as far back as A.D. 100, though without doubt there were Baptists then, as all Christians were then Baptists. Who said that? Baptist? No. John Clark Redpath, the professor of history in DuPont University, a Methodist. No wonder he didn't want to admit it. I should not readily admit that there was a Baptist church as far back as A.D. 100. Without doubt there was. Benjamin Franklin said, if popery was born too late, or is too young to be the true church, what shall be said of these communions born in the past three centuries? They are all too young by largely more than 1,000 years. No church that has come into existence since the death of the apostles can be the church of the living God. End of quotation. Well, yours came into existence 1,000 years before or after the Christ. It waited till 1800 and the 18th century. By the way, I've got Alexander Campbell's translation of the New Testament, the old original one, in 1832. And Alexander Campbell is the one that translated Acts 2:38 as in order to. But you know what? The expression that it's translated from, ace, is found 1,730 times. It's translated 47 different ways, but not one time in the King James Version that he gloats about was it ever translated in order to. Not one time. Beloved, if my salvation depended upon one chance out of 1,730, I'd think I was in bad shape. If the doctor said you've got a 50% chance, I'd think I was in bad shape. And if he said you've got one chance in 1,730 times, and that is the expression of the little Greek preposition ace, and not one time translated in order to. Now listen, there are a few translations where it is translated in order to. And one Baptist, of course, he was an erring Baptist, Godspeed. He translated, I have his copy at home. And he translated it in order to. And there's two or three others that I have along that line. But let me tell you, if there's 50 of them, I wouldn't take the chance of 50 out of 1,730, would you? If there were 100 of them, I wouldn't take it. And by the way, he read from history where there are older manuscripts than the ones that you, well, the book says in the Bible that he uses, right on the same page where Mark 16:16 is said that they're not in the two oldest manuscripts. Well, how can they be any older if these are the two oldest? I don't understand that language. Well, I think those 120 translators knew what they were doing, and that's a testament that he reads out of. And under Mark 16:16, open your Bible. That's what he says. Look, and if it's in there, it is Bible. Okay. Told, they said there, that was put in at least 300 years after the regular texts were given. Well, how would you like to know that yours, that you depend on more than anything else, 300 years too late from the Lord to come into existence? An interpolator. that translated, no copied, the scriptures from one manuscript to the other, copied it in a few hundred years later. Well, that's the same way with the other main scripture that's found in Acts 7 and 38. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip never said that. It's not in the one that he baptized, never eunuch, never said that. It's not in the language, and it's not in the language of the testament that he used. It's in the King James Version, but he's using the Revised Version to preach out of tonight. Okay, it's in the very text where Mark 16 is located, and under it, it says the two oldest manuscripts were not in existence then. So, all right, so much for that. Well, I'd hate to have to warm that heart in order to get over what I want, wouldn't you? That's a lot of going out of the way in order to do that. Give me the chart now. Got it up there? Essential elements of a true church must be founded by the right man, Alexander Campbell. Whew. The book says Christ, Ephesians 1, 22. At the right time, in the days of John the Baptist, Matthew 11 and 12, and Luke 16, 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Now, my brethren of your faith teaches that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not with the New Testament business. They're law books. Well, by the way, open your Bible, open your Bible, and see if you don't find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in it. That's your argument. That's what you put in the ad not long ago in the paper. Open your Bible. If it's in there, it's Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's not fixed here with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's fixed in the New Testament 400 years after the Old Testament was closed. And the Lord opened a new covenant. I read to him last night where the Lord quoted from the Old Testament, from the Ten Commandments and other places. It said, but I say unto you, book of Matthew chapter 5, all you got to do is look in there and you'll find it. They said, but I say, who's doing the commanding? Who's doing the leading? Who is the head? If you believe Christ, take all of what Christ said. And he gave, Luke did in his book, and every bit of that is authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on earth. The law and the prophets were until Christ died on Calvary. That's not what's said. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. And the command that he gave unto them, you go preach the gospel of the kingdom. Did they do it? I don't think the Lord would have spent 3 years with them if they hadn't done it. He'd have kicked them out. The Lord punishes his children when they don't do what he tells them to do. And he didn't let the apostles get away with it. You know why? He forced them to follow him. No. He called on him, asked him to follow me. They started following him from the banks of the Sea of Galilee and followed him for 3 years. I have gone through, before the preparation, in the preparation of this debate, and picked up every time where they had a church gathering of the apostles and disciples and Christ. And at least 70 of those places, they had, in addition to the regular church, the multitudes, other people that came out of Galilee, came out of Judea, came out of the regions beyond Jordan. It tells you where they came from and tells you that the city and the location where they're meeting. All you have to do is get your Bible, go through it with your concordance, and look at the word disciples. It's plural. And wherever it's found, there's a gathering with our Lord. 290 sometimes. And Jesus Christ at one time had no doubt 40 or 50,000 in one congregation. I think I can prove that by the terms it's used. Okay, so much for that. Must be founded in the right time in the days of John the Baptist. And in the right place, Galilee. You know, how do you start a church? By preaching. John started the church by preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. And he gathered the material and prepared it complete for Jesus Christ. That's the job he was sent to do. And it just took him 6 months to do it. He was the forerunner. Jesus Christ said he was the greatest man that has ever born of woman, except him. Well, why put John the Baptist down? Did he do what God sent him from heaven to do? Yes. He baptized those converts that received his message, repented of their sins, believed, and he immersed them. Not only that, he immersed the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you be happy if a Church of Christ preacher to baptize the Lord? Well, a Baptist preacher baptized our Lord. If a Methodist baptized him, they call him Methodist. If a Church of Christ baptized them, they call it Church of Christ or Christian, whatever. If a Catholic does it, they call them Catholic. Well, a Baptist baptized our Lord. To make him a son of God? No, because he was a son of God. Did he baptize the apostles to make them children of God? No, because they were children of God. That's the only kind he'd baptize. He wouldn't baptize any that didn't have fruits of repentance, and he required that. Okay, in Galilee. And Peter, when he went over to preach to the home of Cornelius, verse 37 of Acts 10, said that preaching started in Galilee. And when he went to preach to the Gentile church, he told them where it started. And in the same chapter, the 43rd verse, unto him, Christ, give all the prophets witness that whosoever is baptized shall receive remission of sins. Is that what it says? No. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All the prophets. Plan of salvation's never changed. It's the same. Same with Abraham. Abraham had the gospel preached to him. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the way, it doesn't say it's preached to him in prospect. It didn't say that he preached to them, and when the Christ dies, you can be saved. Beloved, God Almighty is able to save a soul, and did save millions of them, by looking forward to the death of Christ. If you don't think they're saved, read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. One of the first ones that was saved along that line was Cain's brother, Abel, by faith. Abel offered unto God an acceptable offering, and God received his offering. What did his offering point to? The Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, as John said when he came, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's the Savior, and those offerings, every one of them, pointed to the Son of God. And the people that offered their offering pointing to Jesus Christ, they were saved time and time again. All you got to do is read the 11th chapter of Hebrews if you want to find a host of them. The only way they could be saved. Christ is the Savior, certainly. We look back to the Savior. They look forward to the Savior. But God gave the Savior to the world that was prepared for that job in the council halls of eternity. Thanks be unto God. And we're not hard shells either. We're not Calvinists. We do not believe in salvation without conditions. The conditions are placed in the Scriptures by John the Baptist. Repent and believe. Same thing with Jesus. He took up where John left off and said, repent ye and believe the gospel. Did Christ not know what the gospel was? He's the one that originated it. His death, burial, and resurrection. First John says there's nothing that came into existence that he didn't have a part in. Created all things, and by him all things were created. What did he create? He created the plan of salvation in the council halls of eternity in concert with the Father and of the Holy Spirit. Each one of them has the work of God in the Trinity. Okay. Must be of the right material. Matthew 3:7. In order to have a church, you've got to have the right kind of material. You've got to have people that have repented, people that have believed, people that have been baptized. And baptism is the preparation for church membership. Thank you. All right, must have the right baptism, John's baptism. By the way, you folk refused John's baptism. Just like the Pharisees did. He put the question to them when they asked him, what authority you got to do these things? He said, I'll ask you a question. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of man? They said, if we say from heaven, he'd say, why didn't you believe him? But if we say of men, we're afraid of the people, because all hold John as a prophet. People did believe him. People did accept him. And Jesus honored John's baptism. By the way, he hasn't any other baptism except John. And incidentally, when your church was started, had to get a Baptist preacher to get baptism. I'll give you the information out of their own book in the coming sessions of this meeting. They got a fellow by the name of Lewis. And the first baptism that was performed was by Thomas Campbell. And he stood on the root of a tree over in a deep pool in Buffalo Creek and took them by the head and pushed them under. He baptized three of them at that time. But after that, he had to be baptized. He hadn't been baptized before he sprinkled. And that Baptist preacher, loose Baptist preacher, even though his name loose, he was a loose one. He even told them that it wasn't regular, but they convinced him after a while to go ahead and do it, and they did. Did you know the first publication that Alexander come out and printed was The Christian Baptist? Why? Well, he knew he had Baptist baptism. The only thing he had till that time was sprinkling. And it was with the England church and with the Presbyterian church. Here, let me tell you something. You've got some new baptism at least. That's all the baptism your church had that never was repeated, never was given. Okay. Right baptism, right supper, the Lord's Supper. Luke 22:19, and the Lord put the supper in church himself before he left this world. He didn't put it in on the day of Pentecost. And he keeps harping on the fact that David's throne's in heaven. David's throne is not in heaven. Jesus said he was sitting on the throne of his Father. David's throne was in Jerusalem, and when he returns, read the first chapter of the book of Luke, he's promised that he could sit on David's throne. He's the next heir to the throne of Israel, incidentally. He was born king, the royal bloodline. Read the book of Matthew and you'll find the genealogy from Adam right on down. That's in Jesus Christ, and he's the next heir to the throne of Israel and will be the next king of our good nation Israel that gave us the Bible in the first place and gave us the Christ. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When I preached with the Jews and helped them celebrate their 40th anniversary in Wisconsin, Illinois, the first thing I said, I love the Jew because he gave us the Bible. I love the Jew because he gave us the Christ, tribe of Judah. I love the Jew because he gave us the church. Every member of the first church was Jewish. But he turned from the Hebrew nation because they rejected him. And Jesus Christ saw to it that they were dispersed to the uttermost parts of the earth. But they're regathered now. They're getting ready, incidentally, for our Lord to return the second time. We look forward to that coming of our Lord. Must have the right law. The law of the New Testament, Romans 8:2. Must have the right government, Acts 6:2. Congregational, Matthew 6:18-16. Must have the proper doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42. Must have the right officers, pastors and deacons, Ephesians 4:11. Must have the right history in all ages, Ephesians 3:21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. She's still in existence doing business for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.